Okay. Mind, character, personality, page 396, top of the page, chapter 42, mind and health. I'll read a few. I don't know how many people can read, but it looks like there's quite a few. Well, I think the norm. So, first one is, mind controls the whole man. The mind controls the whole man. All our actions, good or bad, have their source in the mind. It is the mind that worships God and allies us to heavenly beings. All the physical organs are the servants of the mind, and the nerves are the messengers that transmit its orders to every part of the body, guiding the motions of the living machinery. The harmonious action of all the parts, brain, bone, and muscle is necessary to the full and healthful development of the entire human organism. The next one is electric power vitalizes whole system. The electric power of the brain, promoted by mental activity, vitalizes the whole system and is thus an invaluable aid in resisting disease. And I wonder, she said this in 1903. I wonder if they even knew back then that the human body generates electricity. I wonder. You know, I would imagine they tried to, you know, they knew that the body was generating heat because we're at 98.6 on the outside, you know, with the thermometers and whatnot. And so I wonder if they knew that then, because she brings up a lot of stuff in her writings, as does the scripture that science is just figuring out today. And then, of course, as we always see, the scientist sits there and pats himself on the back as finding something new that's never been seen before, but yet it's been written in scripture thousands of years ago. Go figure, huh? Continuing, few realize the power of mind over body. But few realize the power that the mind has over the body. A great deal of the sickness which afflicts humanity has its origin in the mind and can only be cured by restoring the mind to health. There are very many more than we imagine who are sick mentally. Heart sickness makes many dyspeptics. It's not an easy word to pronounce. I'm going to look it up on the dictionary.com real quick here. It could be dyspeptics for all I know, but I've never seen the word in my life, so, and I'm over half a century years old, so let me just check this out real quick. Dyspeptics, I'm thinking. So here, listen up. Here's what it says. Come on, you can do it. I've seen you do it before.
Dyspeptic.
Kind of like Pepto-Bismol, dyspeptic. It means relating to having dyspepsia. Okay, whatever that is. Okay, let's look up dyspepsia because it says it's a person who is affected by dyspepsia. So let's get that one in here. Oh, I got to take the period out. Let's see. All right, there we go. Dyspepsia.
Dyspepsia.
Okay, it's disturbed digestion or indigestion. Okay, and she says, heart sickness makes many dyspeptics, for mental trouble has a paralyzing influence upon the digestive organs. Oh, she should have just finished the quote, and we probably would have figured it out from there. Hey, Rick and Gloria from Florida, how you do? All right, whoever wants to read next, we're at Victims of Diseased Imagination.
Okay, we'll jump right on out there. Glad to be back. Hey, have to not have a computer for Sabbath and all, but I got a chance to do a little witnessing up at the Grand Canyon. We were looking at that itty bitty little river down there, about maybe a mile across and a 15-mile wide canyon that they told me something like a billion years or something for that little bitty river to make that. I told the guy, I said, well, first off, that must have been a heck of a river because it had to start out about 20 miles wide to make that big of a hole. And second off, my Bible says we haven't been here 50 million years. So that led to some interesting exchanges. But, you know, wherever you get a chance to witness, that's where you witness. To continue, victims of diseased imagination. The mind needs to be controlled, for it has a most powerful influence upon the health. The imagination often misleads, and when indulged, brings severe forms of disease upon the afflicted. The season most to be dreaded by one going among these individuals is winter. It is winter indeed, not only outdoors, but in, to those who are compelled to live in the same house and sleep in the same room. These victims of a diseased imagination shut themselves indoors and close the windows, for the air affects their lungs and their heads. Imagination is active. They expect to take colds, and they will have it. No amount of reasoning can make them believe that they do not understand the philosophy of the whole matter. Have they not proved it? They will argue. It is true that they have proved one side of the question by persisting in their own course, and yet they do take cold if in the least exposed. Tender as babies, they cannot endure anything, yet they live on and continue to close the windows and doors and hover over the stove and enjoy their misery. They have surely proved that their course has not made them well, but has increased their difficulties. Why will not such allow reason to influence the judgment and control the imagination? Why not now try an opposite course and, in a judicious manner, obtain exercise and out of door and air out of doors? And that's kind of amazing. In Europe, back in the Dark Ages, they believed that taking a bath and things like that would lead to disease, when it was actually being filthy and not handling their garbage and whatnot, right, that led to the plagues that devastated so many people in Europe. It's amazing that they continue to do it for generations. Just amazing. Without trying to find a better way, I guess, and that's what this little paragraph that she wrote has to say. If you're doing it wrong, try something else. Mind impedes circulation, advice to a timid soul, in parentheses. If your mind is impressed and fixed that a bath will injure you, the mental impression is communicated to all the nerves of the body. The nerves control the circulation of the blood, therefore the blood is, through the impression of the mind, confined to the blood vessels, and the good effects of the bath are lost. All this is because the blood is prevented by the mind and will from flowing readily, from coming to the surface to stimulate, arouse, and promote circulation. For instance, if you are impressed that if you bathe, you will become chilly, the brain sends this intelligence to the nerves of the body, and the blood vessels, held in obedience to your will, cannot perform their office and cause a reaction after the bath. And I'll read one more. Seems like they got longer there on me. It says, fruit of a listless, dreamy mind, and in parentheses it says, counsel to a young woman. You have a diseased imagination. You have thought yourself diseased, but this has been more imaginary than real. You have been untrue to yourself. You appeared like a person without a backbone. You were half reclining upon others, which is a wrong position for a lady to occupy in the presence of others. If you had only thought so, you could have walked as well and sat as erect as many others. The condition of your mind leads to indolence and to a dread of exercise, when this exercise would prove one of the greatest means of your recovery. You will never recover unless you lay aside this listless, dreamy condition of the mind and arouse yourself to work while the day lasts. Do as well as imagine and plan. Turn your mind away from romantic projects. You mingle with your religion a romantic, lovesick sentimentalism, which does not elevate but only lowers. It is not you alone who is affected. Others are injured by your example and influence.
Okay, the next one is health sacrificed to feeling, which is counsel to a woman of strong will. It says, dear somebody, you have a diseased imagination and you dishonor God by allowing your feelings to have complete control of your reason and judgment. You have a determined will which causes the mind to react upon the body, unbalancing the circulation and producing congestion in certain organs, and you are sacrificing health to your feelings. The next one is mental illness produced by unsanctified tongues. Comments on the death of the wife of an executive. Sister blank was so weighted down with sorrow that she lost her reason. I asked, who in the day of judgment will be held responsible for putting out the light of that mind that should be shining today? Who will be accountable in the day of God for the work that caused the distress which brought on this sickness? She suffered for months, and the husband suffered with her, and now the poor woman has gone, leaving two motherless children. All this because of the work done by unsanctified tongues. Overtaxed mind impairs health. Brethren have invested means in patent rights and other enterprises and have induced others to interest themselves, who could not bear the perplexity and care of such business. Their anxious, overtaxed minds seriously affect their already diseased bodies, and they then yield to despondency, which increases to despair. They lose all confidence in themselves and think that God has forsaken them, and they dare not believe that he will be merciful to them.
Can you all hear me? Anybody? Yep, okay. I guess I start here. Mental activity produces health. Is that good? All right, I'll press ahead. Press on. God wants his delegated servants to be good preachers, and in order to do this, they must be diligent students. Studious habits, a firm hold from above, will qualify them for their position as ministers of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Mental activity will produce the health, mental activity will produce health, and this is better than a sluggish, disorderly, untrained mind. Many become worthless as ministers after advancing in age. Had they worked the brain, they would have been fruitful in old age. Amen. I'm getting up there in years, and you got to keep that muscle called the brain. You got to keep it active with Bible scripture and Ellen White and positive influences, and eat good and get on the Presence of God ministry and communicate with other fellow brothers and sisters. Amen. Do I hear an amen out there? All right, here we go. Electrical force of brain resists disease. The minds of thinking men labor too hard. They frequently use their mental powers prodigally. While there is, I botched that word anyway, you know what I mean. While there is another class whose highest aim in life is physical labor, the latter class do not exercise the mind. Their muscles are exercised while their brains are robbed of intellectual strength. Just as the minds of thinking men are worked while their bodies are robbed of strength and vigor by their neglect to exercise the muscles. Continuing. Their influence for good is small in comparison to what it might be if they would use their brains as well as their muscles. This class falls more readily if attacked by disease. The system is vitalized by the electrical force of the brain to resist disease. One more paragraph. Discontented repinings bring sickness. That which brings sickness of body and mind to nearly all is dissatisfied feelings and discontented repentings. I don't remember ever saying that word before. Maybe somebody will explain what that means. But they have not God. They have not the hope which reaches to that within the veil, which is as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast. all who possess the hope will purify themselves even as he is pure. Such are free from restless longings, repenting, there's that word again, and discontent. They are not continually looking for evil and brooding over borrowed trouble. But we see many who are having a time of trouble beforehand. Anxiety is stamped upon every feature. They seem to find no consolation, but have a continual fearful look, looking for of some dreadful evil. I'll turn it over to the next lady or gent. As soon as I figure out how to get this thing off here. Thank you. Amen. I'm trying to get this thing to stop. Let me see.
Amen, Brother Ricky. Okay. Continuing on, we are, let me see, unrestful attitude, detrimental to health, counsel to a disturbed woman. The Lord has love for you and care for you, and while your husband is not always with you, yet you have excellent companionship right on the premises where your house is built. Do not keep your mind in an unrestful attitude, for this is detrimental to your health. You must realize that no one is capable of composing your mind but your individual self. True. You are too ready to look on the discouraging side. This has been a weakness in your character. It hurts your experience and gives a sad complexion to your husband's experience. You brood too much. Whatever you can do to divert your mind from your individual self in any line of employment, do it. You are to appreciate the great gift to our world of Jesus Christ, and you may expect much peace and comfort and love exercise to keep your mind in perfect peace. Every believer is to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and that righteousness speaks better things than the blood of Abel. And I wanted to read the comment that Bonnie had a little earlier, which was really good. Let's see where it is here. Taken from Steps to Christ, page 120. It reads, there is many a brave soul sorely pressed by temptation, almost ready to faint in the conflict with self and with the powers of evil. Do not discourage such a one in his hard struggles. Cheer him with brave, hopeful words that shall urge him on his way. Thus the light of Christ may shine from you. From Romans 14:7, none of us liveth to himself. Amen. By our unconscious influence, others may be encouraged and strengthened, or they may be discouraged and repelled from Christ and the truth. Amen. And continuing on with the next paragraph, inability to reason rationally. A student may devote all his powers to acquire knowledge, but unless he obeys the laws that govern his own being, he will destroy himself. By wrong habit, he loses the power of self-appreciation. He loses self-control. He cannot reason correctly about matters that concern him most deeply. He is reckless and irrational in his treatment of mind and body. Through his neglect to cultivate right principles, he is ruined both for this world and for the world to come. And the last one, self-centeredness, a hindrance to recovery. And it says to see chapter 30 on selfishness and self-centeredness. One of the surest hindrances to the recovery of the sick is the centering of attention upon themselves. Many invalids feel that everyone should give them sympathy and help, when what they need is to have their attention turned away from themselves to think of and care for others.
Amen. Next one is divert mind from self. Exercise will aid the work of digestion. To walk out after a meal, hold the head erect, put back the shoulders, and exercise moderately will be a great benefit. The mind will be diverted from self to the beauties of nature. The less the attention is called to the stomach after a meal, the better. If you are in constant fear that your food will hurt you, it most assuredly will. Forget self and think of something cheerful. Next one is doing good releases positive forces. Scroll up a little bit here. The pleasure of doing good animates the mind and vibrates through the whole body. While the faces of benevolent men are lighted up with cheerfulness and their countenances express the moral elevation of the mind, those of selfish, stingy men are dejected, cast down, and gloomy. Their moral defects are seen in their countenances. The next one is security improves health. When men who have indulged in wrong habits and sinful practices yield to the power of divine truth, the application of that truth to the heart revives the moral powers which had seemed to be paralyzed. The receiver possesses stronger, clearer understanding than before he riveted his soul to the eternal rock. Even his physical health improves by the realization of his security in Christ. The special blessing of God resting upon the receiver is of itself health and strength. And one more is the tranquilizing effects of suitable working conditions. And this is counsel to an overwrought executive. It's hard to read these tiny letters. This website doesn't let you expand the lettering. And it's not my website. Okay, it goes on to say that it is not for me to lay out for you a definite line of work, but you should work, if possible, in some place where your mind will be kept in even balance, where you can be peaceful and quiet, where you will not be consulted on many questions. It is not best for you to have supervision over many things. Your mind should not be overtaxed. This would be of great injury to you. When too many perplexities are placed upon you, the blood rushes to your head, and you give way to an intensity of feeling that endangers your health. Place yourself, if possible, where you have little cause to worry over the work of others. If you should take upon your perplexities in which large interests are involved, the confusion that would come as a result of planning for the management of many things would not be for your own good or for the best interests of the cause of God. Those who would place upon you a variety of duties requiring the most careful management are making a mistake. Your mind needs to be tranquil. You are to do a work that will not produce friction in your mind. You are to keep your conscience in the fear of God according to the Bible standard, and you are to make steady improvement that you may not be in any way unfitted for the work God has given you to do. That's pretty neat, you know, because some people, I can remember when I was working like in management and supervision like that, it does get to you worrying about, you know, the duties of the others because it all lands on you anyway if you're the boss, you know. And I remember when I started doing the ministerial work, I started seeking out jobs where I didn't have to do that. I would work under people, like when I was doing the building maintenance. I could just go and work on my stuff and just, I didn't have to do hardly any thinking because I was concentrating my work on the ministry. And so while I was at work, I would, you know, all day long, I had a little notepad with me and, you know, thoughts to put on the website. And that I did that for, well, since we moved out away from the city, probably 10 or 12 years. But some people, like, I couldn't handle it at that time to, you know, to work, like she's saying here, with all that stuff running around in the mind because it was, it gets to you. That is a fact. Well, we're almost done with this one. I just realized that. Well, actually, okay, I think whoever's next there.
Okay, to continue. It says, a quiet mind is a pathway to heaven. The consciousness of right doing is the best medicine for diseased bodies and minds. The special blessing of God resting upon the receiver is health and strength. A person whose mind is quiet and satisfied in God is in the pathway to health. To have a consciousness that the eyes of the Lord are upon us and his ears open to our prayers is a satisfaction indeed. To know that we have a never-failing friend in whom we can confide all the secrets of the soul is a privilege which worlds can never express. Amen to that. The next one is love, hope, and joy are essential for health. In order to have perfect health, our hearts must be filled with hope and love and joy. That was short. And the final one is Christ, the answer. That is the answer to everything there. She's got that one nailed. Many are suffering from maladies of the soul far more than from diseases of the body, and they will find no relief until they shall come to Christ, the wellspring of life. Complaints of weakness, loneliness, and dissatisfaction will then cease. Satisfying joys will give vigor to the mind and health and vital energy to the body. And that's the end of this particular part of the study.